Good morning, good morning. Okay, on a first note, we have three requests today. So the theme today is there are three requests. Okay, but first, let's rest back in reality. Okay, so take that breath and settle in to the truth that there is no person here to be speaking, and there is no person there to be listening. Supreme Spirit alone is. Okay. And there is no second reality. There is only spirit. So let's recognize our naturalness is emptiness. So follow a breath in and aware of a breath going out. Letting go of things to do for today or the to-do list for tomorrow. Let drop away all ideas for the future. And with each breath, letting go of the past and memories. Following a breath, leave all feelings and sensations. Just don't touch anything. Set everything aside and leave the world. Leave it alone. With the breath, let go any thoughts and set them aside for now. Be empty. Leave I am, leave I, leave God, and leave consciousness, and set aside the idea of gaining some new knowledge. Leave aside all concepts and beliefs. Empty, empty. You are just here, resting in the emptiness of being. Okay. So our three requests today are somewhat similar. Our first request was, what is the most effective way of maintaining the consciousness free from the form identification while going through our daily responsibilities? And number two was thoughts and how they are not real. And number three, thoughts have no power versus thoughts have power. Okay. So, a little thought for today is no thing is real. Only thoughts tempt you to believe otherwise. So we'll start with number one. What is the most effective way of maintaining the consciousness free from the form identification while going through our daily responsibilities? Well, we have practices for that, such as, first of all, giving up the belief that you have, that you are a body mind to begin with. And then meditating only on the self and keeping your attention on the present moment now. So, what would you think the belief is that allows a thought while going through our daily responsibilities be accepted as legitimate? So, first we have to ask, who is it that is going through our daily responsibilities? Where is the one believing that it has daily responsibilities? So the daily actions, the daily happenings, the happening or the activity of doing laundry, cleaning house, reading a book, watching a movie, paying the bills, getting the groceries in, preparing meals. The only way that there is form identification is because there is a belief that I am the form. Okay. So when that thought rises, that's your temptation. That's your red flag. When the thought rises, I have to do. I need to do. That is your red flag. Where is the doer? Who is the doer? What is going to do the action? So here, the second request on thoughts coming in is right here within this same request. So what takes place is a thought rises about my responsibilities. That too is a red flag because where is the my that has the responsibilities? But due to a belief still being held to that there being a body mind and separate. But instead of seeing clearly that this thought of my responsibilities has nothing to do with myself, with my being, with me. Okay. So instead of seeing that, it is believed to be real. The thought is believed to be real. I really have responsibilities that I must take care of. And then the thought comes, okay, because being on a spiritual path, asking what is an effective way to maintain, and here again, my consciousness free from form identification. So now there is the concept, and you are being shown a belief that there is a me and an others with responsibilities. Now, since you are neither body nor mind, consciousness is already free. There is no me to find an effective way to maintain consciousness free from form identification. Consciousness is already free. It is when a thought rises to your awareness, because these are not your thoughts. I think we had that the other week. They are not your thoughts. They rise in consciousness like bubbles in the champagne. They rise to your awareness. They rise to your attention. At that moment, there is that opportunity to see the thoughts as nothing, to see them as having nothing to do with God. The thought, how can I maintain? What does that have to do with God? What does that have to really do with the pure presence of consciousness? Absolutely nothing. It tells you also that the trust in your being to fulfill what is necessary to be fulfilled is a little on the weak side, because there remains the claim, I have to do it. Rather than trusting that thy will is done and all that is to be done will be fulfilled through this body form apparatus, and there's nothing that needs to be done about it. So the trust in what you are. Could probably stand a little work. Okay, so that trust comes by recognizing that little flag when there is a thought or a tempter, because that's what they are. They are the tempter. They tempt you to continue to believe in them. There's a temptation there with these thoughts to continue the belief system or the habitual system of accepting that I am separate. I am the doer. I'm the one that has to do something. So, to embrace the trust in the unseen, which is what you are, you're absolutely invisible, formless and shapeless, pure consciousness. But to embrace that trust at deeper levels comes when you see those. I have to do this today. When you see that as the temptation, and you set that aside. No, thy will is already fulfilled within me. What is to be done will be done, and what is not to be done will not be done. And I trust in that which I am to fulfill it so. And you embrace that, and you let it mature, and you let it grow. But you have to see the temptation to remain a separate person. And that's what we call the red flags. That's a red flag. That is a temptation for you to continue to believe that you are a separate person trying to become the oneness that you already are. Okay. Consciousness, pure consciousness, is already free. And what is being attempted is only a thought rising. It is a thought about being a person with responsibilities. There is no person. There is only pure consciousness present. So there is no person with responsibilities. That is only another thought, another temptation. When the sage of Nazareth stood and was tempted by what we call the devil, which is the egoic identity, is the tempter. Okay. What came to him? Thoughts. Thoughts came as the temptation. They come to your awareness as a temptation. And every temptation is an opportunity to rest back in trusting that which is already present, to let go of the thoughts of temptation, to remain a separate person, to rest back in the trust, thy will is done. So it's only a thought. It's only a temptation. But when you take it up as real, you will then also accept the thoughts that you must do something about it. So, as the thoughts are taken up, we then find that other thoughts rise up to give legitimacy to the belief patterns that we are accepting as truth. Okay. For instance, we see bodies with different heights, with different shapes, with different weights, with different skin colors. We see different aging. We see different languages and different customs, and we see different cultures. But in most cases, these differences are not seen nor accepted as the one presence in expression. They are accepted to legitimize the thoughts of separation. Differences are not a reality of separateness. Differences are concepts, is a concept. Because in reality, there is only the one presence. There is no differences. But out of yet ignorance of claiming to be a body mind, we see what we call the differences as separate. They're different from me, therefore, we are separate. So it is like in last week's talk and the gold, okay? When the jeweler asked the young man to go to the safe and bring him the unformed gold, the boy could only see the forms of bracelets and earrings and necklaces being there. Okay. But he could not see just the formless gold. And thoughts about the separate objects were accepted as the reality. And then the acceptance brings the thoughts. And the thoughts become our reality, our judgment, our acceptance of this separation. So what was truly there, okay, the boy could not see, what was truly there was veiled by the objects, the belief in the object. And what was truly there was clouded over. But the presence was there nonetheless. Whether you believe in separation and believe in being body is immaterial to the one presence that is present right now. And likewise with the clay pot, you see the form and recognize the label as clay pot. So the sighting and the labeling legitimize to you the belief that there is a clay pot. And it is the same with persons, that body here, that body there, that space, the belief in that being separateness only legitimizes the thoughts and the beliefs in separation. Okay. So the sight and the labeling seem to verify a belief system. But in truth, there is no clay pot. Just like the gold, there is only clay and formed into shapes that then are labeled. And ultimately, there is no clay. But we believe in the labels. We believe in the thoughts that are labeling the objects. So we see a form and a shape, but what we actually see is the labeling thoughts that rise to us in regards to that shape. So we believe the labeling. We believe the label of body, Mary, being present as person. Well, some may believe that. I don't believe that. So for the sincere seeker, there must be the looking beyond every form and shape to see clearly that all is consciousness. So we take this thought idea about my responsibilities, and we look at it sincerely and honestly. There is no me to have responsibilities. There is no my responsibilities, just like there is no my body, no my mind. I'm looking clearly. I'm looking sincerely. I'm looking honestly. There is no me to have responsibilities. Then what is here? If there is no me here, then what is here? And the ultimate answer is consciousness. Consciousness is present. Only consciousness is present. If I see these thoughts as being only temptations, and I see these thoughts as having no power, and no presence. Then I am living truth. I am living the truth that is consciousness, that is God. If every temptation that rises in you is challenged with what has that to do with God, you will see very quickly that thoughts are truly nothing. The thought, I have to go to the store. What does that have to do with God? Who is this I going to the store? Is God going to the store? Ultimately, it looks that way, yes. But what is taking place? And this is something you must see. What is actually taking place is just happenings within consciousness. And those happenings do not belong to a person. Those happenings just happening. And they need no validation from a person. They're just happening. So the meal on the table, it is not my meal. The presentation of the meal is just a happening. Even the consuming of it is just a happening. It is fuel for the body form. It is just happening. So it is. When we look to thoughts for our truth, it is then that we put thoughts before the presence that is present. We veil what is here. We cloud it over. Okay. Scripture says, "Thou shalt have no gods before me." I think that's how it's worded. Okay. So, what do you feel it is when a thought is accepted as truth in place of the presence of pure consciousness that you are? So, my responsibilities is the acceptance of a thought as truth, and it is placed before the recognition. So you can see, or you quite clearly, you should be able to see this quite clearly, that it is the thoughts that we give power to. It is the thoughts that we just habitually take up and say, me or mine. And it's when we accept the thoughts as being real or being reality about a me. Okay. That we are living the dream. We are dreaming. Because there is no such reality as a me or a mine. Okay. No such reality. The only reality is you. That is the presence of pure consciousness. And there's no second to that. No matter how many thoughts rise to tempt you otherwise. You can accept any statement, any thought at all that rises to your awareness, and it will not be truth. You cannot think the truth. You cannot read the truth. You cannot write the truth. You cannot speak the truth. It is beyond that. Okay. So here's a little story. Okay. You could have the statement rise to your awareness. My car has a flat tire. Okay. That seems logical. That's what most would say if the sight saw that. But let's look at it clearly. And just see the non-reality of it. Look at it clearly. My car has a flat tire. Well, firstly, a formless unborn has no possessions. So who is this my that possesses a form labeled car, which in turn possesses a form called tire, which is being something called flat? I know the statement seems quite logical. And yes, there would be a happening to fulfill the need of that. That's not a problem. It is just seeing clearly that there is no my, and there really isn't a car. There is a form, a shape that has a label that says it's a car. It might sound strange or funny, but you need to go through challenging the statements. Not that the appearance is not going to be repaired, but just challenging the statements and seeing that that statement isn't real. There is an appearance, yes, but the statement of my and mine is not real. Now, the belief system says that which I am seeing is truth. I see a car with a flat tire, and that's truth. No, it is not truth. When you challenge the statement, you will find quite quickly it is not truth because there is no me or mine to have possessions. Okay. And if mine right now is in conflict with that, then you will have to challenge it. You will have to challenge, where is the me, the my, that has a possession called a car? And where is the car that has the position called tire? So the belief system is saying that which I am seeing is truth. And yet, the reality is that only God is present. For the spiritual seeker, the only reality is pure consciousness. The only reality which is present is God. So I challenge the statement, who is the my or the me that has the possessions? There is only the presence, the essence. And that presence is not an object. So that presence that is not an object and being the only presence could not create or express anything that is not like itself. So, of all the billions of thoughts that you may become aware of, not one of them is real. What is the definition of real or reality? It is immutable. It is ever present. Is a thought ever present? Or do they come and go? So we just can't read about who you are. And we can't just listen to a teacher talk about who you are, because all the words are only pointings. They can't even speak the truth to you. They can only point in the direction which is within, to the silence. Okay. So we do the practice sincerely and honestly before all else. We do the practice in the heart, not the head. We do the practice in the silence and the stillness. That is our nature. And we do the practice of seeing thoughts as nothing and without power until that knowing is living in the heart. And we are living truth. And we do that until any thought can rise to our awareness and we remain still. So yes, that tire, that tire. So the happening of the tire being changed will most likely take place. But it is a happening. It is an expression taking place from within, and the body form is being used in that happening. Okay. So it is to know that you are not doing anything. There is no doer to take care of responsibilities. What appears to be happening is just another appearance, seemingly to be happening. So, if there is any responsibility, it is up to God to handle it. It is up to you to remain silent and be still in the knowing that all takes place within God. So recognize, okay, recognize within you, not just in the head, that thoughts will rise to awareness, and then they will flow back down from awareness. But all that comes to your awareness is not truth. They are only thoughts, and all thoughts are concepts. And there is a reason why thoughts cannot be or cannot have any power. And that is because all power always remains with God. The statement, "My God is a jealous God," or something like that. It is because no power is given from God to anything. All power stays within God. There is no thought, no object that has any power. So it is yourself that has all the power and never an object or a thing. Okay? So you can seemingly give power to a thing. Yeah, you can do that. But it will never really have any. Okay. No thing will ever have any power. It all remains with you. And what is that power? So, no thing is real. No thought is real. A thought is a thing. It's an object. Okay. And no thing is real. And only thoughts tempt you to believe otherwise. And you must see the temptation. Okay. So I would sincerely suggest that you put down the books and set the tapes aside during this holy season, this break that we're going to have, and spend more time in the stillness of your being. And in the silence that is your nature. Now, silence can be done formally while just sitting the body down and consciously being that silence that is present. It can be done while walking, while eating, while dishes are being washed or beds are being, it can be done at any time. To recognize the silence that is yourself. Okay. And in that being conscious, while observing the happenings of the day, is your naturalness, not involvement, not engagement, but observing the happenings of the day and knowing and living that only God is present, only pure, perfect presence is presence. And in this, throughout the day, you can watch the thoughts. You can watch those old habits rise up and you will see clearly. And as you see clearly, then you can release and not be held in by old beliefs and old patterns. Okay. So, thank you. Well, setting the tapes aside, but except for this one. So, I mean, we had a lot there to co we covered. I think we did a good job. So, if you want to have your comments and your questions now, that would be wonderful.
Mary,
Yes, love.
what came to my mind is the quotations of judge not after appearances and resist not evil. Because my seeing something evil is my thought pattern.
Right.
And judging, and
Right.
I'm going to act off of those judgments as well, which only makes the situation or whatever is taking place just become worse.
Right, in our eyes, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. You had the requests. How'd we do?
Excellent.
Yeah,
It brought me back to there's only one problem, that there's this sense of separation, that there's a sense of a responsibility, or even a sense of another separate being other than consciousness. And this has been really a long, long time of hearing that, but feeling that within, like going, like I really appreciated going into the heart and feeling it from there. I was really feeling it from a feeling rather than thoughts, if that makes any sense. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, love. You're welcome. See. Gary, did you want to jump in there?
Well, lots to think about still, but yes, it's been very helpful. Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome, dear. I do think we covered them all. But go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that it seems to me that belief is actually more powerful than the thoughts.
Well, the belief has no power either,
Ultimately.
as we're just saying. No, it just doesn't have it. If you want to say that it does, and if you want to believe that the belief has a power, then you will feel that it does, which it doesn't. But
Maybe I
it's
should
by
have used the
your,
word important.
yeah. By claiming it as being something real or powerful or even important, if you are claiming that, then you're going to feel that that belief has power, and it doesn't have any at all.
I meant belief in no separation.
The belief in no separation is not a belief. That is not a belief. When you are resting in the heart that is yourself, when you are resting in the truth that God alone is and God is yourself, you're resting in knowingness, not a belief.
Okay,
Yeah.
thank you.
That isn't a belief. A belief is a concept. The reality of no separation is not a concept. So we rest in that because it is truth. So it's not a, yeah, it wouldn't be a belief.
I love what was just said about resist not evil and the other thing about judgment, but I also feel like what I'm feeling when I'm in that heart and that, and I love when you start with there's no person here to hear and no person there, like starting with that beautiful place to start. That also, what kind of starts to happen or really does is like, we're not only not resisting evil, but we're not overly rejoicing in the good either. Like neither side of that coin. It's just like we're two sides of a coin or,
Exactly. It's just the concepts of good
yeah.
and a concept of evil, and they have no reality. Either one of them has no reality.
Right.
But if right now thoughts and mind are pushing, well, there is good, there has to be good. God is good, God is great, and all of that. But do you really know what good is, other than through concepts? And no, that's a duality. If there is good, then you're saying that it is the opposite of evil, so there has to be evil. There doesn't, no, there isn't either one. There just is being. And to say that God is good, that too is a concept. That's a belief. Because until you're living God, you don't really know. You only have books and things to go on that says that God is good. But live it, live what is truth, and then you will have the knowing of God. You'll be living God yourself. Yeah. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Anybody with a question? Okay. So, most happy blessings to all for a God awareness holiday. Your truth. Live your truth. All right. So I guess we're finished for today. Okay. So let us pray. Most beloved self, there is but one life, one unconditioned presence, one unconditioned being, one unconditioned mind. I am formless and never born. How can I possess? How can I own? How can I be other than what I already am? I see clearly and take rest in what already is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Om Shanti. Namaste.